Welcome to the April 11th post national championship version of the Zuch and Wild show. I am Diego Wild. This is Zuch. And we got a great show. We're going to talk about UConn going back to back, talk a little women's game, South Carolina, perfect season, and also get your chicken ready. Coach Cal on the move to Arkansas. But I have to talk first about men's Final Four. UConn, undefeated when Andrew Hurley plays. That's the stat that we need to take away.
Andrew Hurley, 48 now.
Yeah, Andrew Hurley, undefeated when he plays. Now, he is getting in at the very end of the game. Yes, I don't know if he's recorded a basket when the game's been under 10 points, but it doesn't matter. UConn looked like an absolute machine this weekend, like they've done all season.
I almost think it makes it more impressive that he's like 48-0, because that means they've obliterated people like 48 times in what, a two or three year span?
Or is he a fourth year? I seriously think they've covered every tournament spread dating back to last year's tournament. They've covered every spread. And it's not like they've had a cakewalk this year. I mean, last year you could make the argument like, oh, I guess they were a four and they never had to play the one seed Bama, right? Or did, no, because they never had to play like they kind of snuck by. And this year they beat the one team that gave them a little bit of trouble last year in the tournament, SDSU. They just beat the team with probably the best player in the country, Zach Edey. They went on a absolute tear. They beat the Mountain West champion by 25 points, it seemed like. It really is. When stuff like this happens, I really do have to like take a step back and be like, man, that is special. Because I like at the college basketball level, like you don't see this often, like this extended dominance, because guys are just leaving in the transfer portal. And credit to Dan Hurley, like he is an absolute psychopath. Like he is a psychopath, but it works. It works old school, but like he's got like personality where like he truly does like care. Like it's not like a Bobby Knight like F you to like bring the team together. It's like we are going to work hard as a collective unit and get better. Like it was close at some times in the game, but I really truly never felt like Purdue had a shot in that game. Like maybe a little bit, but
excuse me. No, I mean, that's how they've been for 2 years. Like the team might get close for a little bit, but then it's like they just like go into Terminator mode and wreck everybody.
That's a good way to put it.
Everyone in their path.
Terminator. Like
I mean, I don't remember the last time I even saw Purdue. Like, clearly not in this tournament because they're in the national title. But just get up. Like, they shut down everybody but Zach Edey, like, completely and totally. They were fine
Zach
with Zach
Edey. Zach Edey was, I'm not going to lie, that first 10 minutes of the national championship game when Edey was hitting hook shot after hook shot, that was electric. It was that 10 minutes where it was like maybe Purdue has a chance. And then it slowly, slowly started sinking, just bursted wide open in the second half. I mean, I'm looking at this box score right now. And I mean, just from the box score, you can tell the difference in this game was just the guard play. Spencer, Newton, and Castle. Just complete, like there was a complete talent discrepancy from the UConn guards and the Purdue guards. I mean, Fletcher Lawyer. I mean, I thought he's a little overrated all year. I mean, 0-for-5 field goals, 0-for-1 3-point shots. He's supposed to be the 3-point specialist. 0 points in 30 minutes played. And Landon Jones, first team All Big Ten, 2-for-3. 5 points, doesn't even get to 5 assists. Like, yeah, it truly was Zach Edey carrying. Zach Edey had 37 points.
Yeah, I haven't seen a basketball team like that in a long, long time. That just, you don't, like, at no point have I ever thought UConn was going to lose in this tournament. Like there, like teams might, I feel like every game starts out and it's like 9-9. And for a second, you're like, oh, maybe this will be close. But then you look up and it's 32-13.
They can just beat you in so many different ways. Like that's, like they got like Klingon didn't even play like that good of a game, and he's their best player. Like Klingon didn't like you can make the argument that like Edie gave Klingon the business, and we're gonna talk a lot about UConn because just the way they've dominated. I do want to touch on Purdue for a second. I think this performance does cement Zach Edey as one of the college greats, and I do think that it does also cement him as he's going to get drafted into the NBA. And selfishly, I wore this shirt right here. Larry's here, Golden State Warriors. The Golden State Warriors draft Zach Edey. He can be Andrew Bogut on steroids. I know we're a college basketball. This is for the first time for people who've been listening. I'm showing my Warriors fandom. I hope that doesn't ruin this show that just listened to a Warriors fan. But Zuch is also wearing a Yankees hat, so we're double dipping on just being front runners right now. But the Warriors need to draft Zach Edey. He is an Andrew Bogut on steroids. He's got better offense than Bogut. And just imagine the pick and roll with him and Steph for a second.
It would be fantastic. I think it would be interesting. People would watch. This is like, it would just be funny seeing Zach Edey with Draymond Green and Steph Curry. Like
the one thing that has me scared was Draymond did say he did tweet out Zach Edey quit. And you know, there was a stretch where he missed like six shots in a row, but the man had 37 points, Draymond. Like, I don't know. Hopefully. But yes, Zach Edey and Draymond Green having to interact, like that just sounds so funny to me.
Yeah, I would watch. I would watch.
All right. Well, Purdue, solid season. I think it came down like that game was kind of a very good summary of their whole year, where it's just a lot of Zach Edey. And it's the other guys. And it's not to say that those other guys are bad, but those other guys probably aren't national champion runner-up good.
No.
At least this year. A lot of them I know are young, like Fletcher Loyer I know is a sophomore. But they just weren't – like, Zach Edey carried that team, let's be honest. No disrespect, he carried that team to the heights that they've reached this year.
I agree. And now – we're going to talk about another person who carried her team to similar heights.
Oh, no. I got one more question about UConn real quick. I got one more question about UConn. So it is actually a two-parter. One's going to be quick because I think this is going to be a very quick answer from both of us. And the second one is where I think it's going to might cause some debate. So number one, is this UConn team better than last year's UConn team?
I mean, probably, but I it's hard to compare because they both just destroyed everybody.
I say yes. I mean, yeah, Klingon, who was one of their better players last year, returned and got better. They picked up Spencer, who is a better version of the grad transfer they had last year. They have Castle, who's going to be a lottery pick this year, who I think is better than the lottery pick, like the shooter they had last year. And Caravan got 1 year older.
Yeah, like, I mean, they were
and
nasty.
Newton got better, too, from El Paso. He won Most Valuable Player. Like, I think UConn won. Now, the real question, where I think it's going to spark some debate, you're a Florida guy from the great state of Florida. The last back-to-back champion were those Joakim Noah teams. How do you think this UConn back-to-back compares up to that Florida back-to-back with Corey Brewer, Al Horford, Joakim Noah, Billy Donovan? Also, shout out Trilly Donovan, great Twitter account, but Billy Donovan. Like, how do you think those two teams connect?
I mean, I think they're both really good. The crazy part about that Florida team was they beat UCLA, I think, in 2006, and then every one of those guys came back, which was
that is the crazy
especially
part.
At that I mean that was mid 2000, so that was
when like high school players were still coming out.
Yeah, I think maybe they just had changed that to where you had to go to the 1 year of it was right around there, I believe, but it was still like you had to go for 1 year, so for those guys to come back for like their senior and junior years was unheard of. basically.
And so. What makes even crazier is that you can make the argument that, like, oh, Klingon came back. Well, Klingon, you know, he was kind of like early second round projections last year. Like, Al Horford, even I was a kid, I remember, like, Al Horford and Joakim Noah are, like, going in the top 20, their first national championship run. And then they both came back. Like, that's insane to me.
Yeah, I mean, and it's crazy to me to think that Billy Donovan, like, that was we're getting close to 20 years ago that they won that first one, which is kind of crazy to me. But
it is crazy. I mean, when I look at these teams, it's so tough because we saw, like, how successful, like, those three players were in the NBA. I think we need a on this debate. I think what's, like, blind. I'm like, because I don't remember really. I was too young to watch those players in college. So I'm thinking of the NBA versions of those players, which are very, very good all-star level players. Joakim Noah, Corey Brewer, maybe not all-star, but he dropped 50. And Al Horford, who's might be a borderline Hall of Famer, whether people want to admit it or not. But they just match up, like, incredibly well. Like, even coaches. You have Billy Donovan, who's, like, if you made, like, a basketball coach in a lab, it'd probably be Billy Donovan, just like the rock, like the Hoosiers S Coast. And then you have psycho Dan Hurley, who will, like, kick a toddler in the chest if it means, like, he can get, like, one loose ball in a Sweet 16.
He was like, they're up 80 million, and he's, like, hounding the ref at the end of the game.
He pushed Cam Spencer.
I mean, and I know a lot of people don't like Dan Hurley. I don't.
I like Dan Hurley.
Yeah, I like him. Like, I don't, like, he, that's just his, I mean, look at his whole family is like that. Like, has anyone ever watched, like, Bobby Hurley, like, in that Christian
Leighton documentary? How do you think Bobby Hurley feels, though? Like, he was up there in his Arizona State QZ, and, like, do you think he's just going, like, damn, like, we can't even, like, make it the second day in Pac-12 tournament?
And my brother is just, like, slaughtering everyone in his way. Well, at least he knows he'll get, like, an assistant coaching job there.
That's what I think. Honestly, that was another thing that crossed my mind. It's like, if Bobby Hurley ever gets fired from Arizona State, which probably will be next year in the Big 12, they're slated to have a tough year unless some wicked transfers and freshmen come in. But yeah, UConn. Also, shout out to the other two Final Four teams, NC State and Alabama. They played well. But they just got overmatched on this, like, in this run. Like, it was almost like Team of Destiny vibes, both these teams.
Yeah.
You had Purdue, like, these were the two best teams all year. But UConn has been the clear-cut number one all year. And the last thing I'll say was they are pretty – I want to see how well-reloaded they are going in the next year. Because right now, the only person who's, like, for sure returning that – is probably what Diarra and Caravan are the only people who get, like, actual minutes who are returning. It'll be interesting to see because Klingon's gone, Castle and Spencer are gone, and Newton's probably gone for either draft wise or eligibility wise. So it'll be interesting to see. I saw Robbie Avila just entered the transfer portal from Indiana State. So if Robbie Avila goes to UConn, that is big time. And maybe that's just me wishing. But that's all I have to say about that. Yeah. That's all I have to say. The three-peat, it'll be an absolute roller coaster next year if they start winning again, and it could be three-peat time.
And now we talk about another team who is carried by someone. Now, we did see somebody finish their story on Sunday, and that person was not Caitlin Clark.
0-2. Shout out Cody Rhodes, baby. Yes, Cody Rhodes finished the story, but like Roman Reigns, Caitlin Clark was left short. But South Carolina was perfect. Like, this whole women's tournament has been, like, such a breath of fresh air, at least, like watching women's sports, for me, being completely honest, like, I haven't felt like this, like, intrigued since, like, the women's World Cup years of, like, the early 2010s, like, Abby Wambach and stuff. Like, it's literally been, like, 10 years since I've been this, like, interested and, like, enthralled in the storylines of this. And I think this game for three quarters lived up to the hype. Like, it was Caitlin Clark versus the machine that Dawn Staley has assembled in South Carolina. And they are a machine. Like, she builds these girls in labs. It is, they are big, they are talented, they are, it is, I don't know how, like, this is like, I'm telling you, we're all going to be watching YouTube videos of some girl doing a slam dunk in like 3 or 4 years. Like, in-game dunks consistently. Like, it's going to happen. And Dawn Staley, it's going to be for Dawn Staley. Like, this this game was good. And America agreed. There is, I think I saw it came in. Now, it was on CBS, so it gets, like, the national cable. But I think it got, like, 17, 18 million viewers again. Like, people are loving this stuff.
And I have one thing to say on this. Whoever tweeted the picture of Little Bow Wow and, like, Mike when his shoes breaks and says, that Caitlin Clark in the national every year in the national championship. People are coming for you.
There are Twitter after these games, they need to stop. They need to stop. I saw someone compared Gabby Marshall to a Barstool Nate. It's just not okay. There's just not okay stuff happening on Twitter after these games, but that's what makes it awesome. Like, people are really loving this. And game wise, it's just Caitlin Clark ran out of gas at the end. And I think, you know, local, this is a tweet from our local guy, BBJ Reigns. He tweeted something and he went, I wonder how many more Caitlin Clark assists she would have if her teammates didn't miss 5 layups a game.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of felt bad for her because like, it's to me, her and Zach Edey were that equivalent of, like, I would say, like, every what 5 or 7 years in the NBA. Like, you had the year that Dwight Howard basically got the Magic with nobody like else good on the team to the NBA finals. You had the AI team, same way, got them to the finals. There's like nobody else. Like, that's what these kind of felt like, is like they got their team to the finals and it was just.
They just ran out of steam to a machine. Like, they just ran out of steam to a machine. And what, it's 3 championships now for Dawn Staley in, what, 5 or 6 years? They've lost 1 game in 2 years, and it was to Caitlin Clark. Like, this is, like, insanity. And I know down there in Colombia, like, they don't win a lot. So I know – sorry, that was a cheap shot at the Gamecocks. That was a cheap shot at Cox Nation. I'm sorry, but – if this is like, they were like, did you see the videos of them like jumping in the fountains after the game?
Oh yeah, they're having the time of their life. 38 now.
Having the time of their life. I wonder what Spurrier is doing right now. Do you think golfing. Spurrier's hiding? Shane Beamer? Do you think Shane Beamer is hyped right now?
Shane Beamer is complaining like at the spring game officials right
now for something they did. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, Shane Beamer's complaining about like the spring game, and then like he'll like come to the women's team when they get back to campus and like smash through a cinder block wall and be like, this is what South Carolina is, breaking through adversity, and like the season's over. Like, that's
go 5-7 next year.
Yeah. I cannot wait. I cannot wait for the tweets when South Carolina is playing and they recognize this women's championship team on the sidelines at like the first quarter, and there will be a tweet going like, someone from Gamecocks Nation will be like, can one of them strap up a helmet right now? That tweet will happen.
Or like, what was it he got mad at last year, Shane Beamer? The official was like eating a hot dog.
No, it was the chain game. The chain game was eating hot dogs at halftime.
He like lost his mind. Oh Lord. But I mean, yeah, it was a great, like, the ending of both those games was kind of like meh, I guess. But I mean, I for one think the women's tournament was probably better than the men's. Like, the men's had some good moments. But...
I don't know. Like, the women's tournament, I think in the Sweet 16 on, yeah, but like the women's tournament, there is a lot less upsets in the first 2 rounds. And for everyone, you know, when people have been asking for my bracket, I've just been saying, you know, I'm 97th percentile women's. I'm 97th percentile women.
A plus.
There we go. But no, it was a really good game, and it was a very good way, I don't know, to kind of like end this almost era and start a new era of like women's ball. Because I mean, you got that like chick from South Carolina who's gonna go pro, like the big girl who I don't know her name. It's the girl from Brazil who's Cardoso. Yeah. Cardoso. It, One thing game wise that Cardoso did, it was like Iowa couldn't get an offensive rebound. Like that, like game wise, that was my main takeaway. It was just like rebounding was such a premium to them because Cardoso was just dominating the block.
Yeah.
It was just, it was crazy.
They are a big, scary, very good basketball team.
Very, very scary. Very, very scary is right. But yeah. That's it. Like, that was it for the season. Like, I think it lived up to the hype. You know, John Fanta, shout out all the guys who we follow who covered this. But now we enter the off season, and boy, did it start early. And, you know, we're talking about craziness because something happened. Coach Cal, John Calipari, is now the head coach, or at least is finalizing a deal as of the recording of this episode, to be the head coach at Arkansas. This is insane. And I love the meme where it's like the domino meme where it's like Jack Golkey like deciding to transfer to Oakland. Coach Cal. No, Coach Cal at Arkansas. And there was another one where it was SMU deciding to enter the ACC. Coach Cal at Arkansas.
I mean, this so far, and I mean, it's not over, obviously, because somebody like – somebody is really good is going to take the Kentucky job. So, I mean, who knows? Like, this, I mean, so far, I guess some of them weren't technically in the off season, but you had, when was the last time, like, you had this many programs? You had Louisville, you had Michigan, you have Kentucky. Arkansas is, like, a relatively decent basketball program. I mean, USC has been pretty good under Andy Enfield. That's a lot of Ohio State. Like, there's a lot of...
there's a lot of openings. I mean, shoot, even teams like Washington and USC, they were open at the beginning of the year. Utah State was open for a little bit. Like, there's a lot of coaching changes going on in college basketball right now.
Yeah, I'm for one, excited to see Calipari at Arkansas just to see... because, like, they... like, Arkansas, you know, has national titles, is... honestly, a pretty good, like, if you, like, look at their program's history, they're not bad. And obviously, he knows how to recruit because, like, even when they lose,
and,
like they did to
and
Oakland.
They got the money. I think they gave him a similar, if not bigger, NIL budget at Arkansas than he had at Kentucky.
Yeah, so it's – that first Arkansas-Kentucky game is going to be real. Oh, like, I didn't see too many Kentucky fans who were, like, mad at him. Like he said in that video he released, it was, like, and that's why I kind of like Calipari. He was like, you know, I could tell that it was time for a new voice there. Like, he kind of knew when to, like, not that they couldn't win a national title. I mean, I think they could. I think Kentucky is still really good under him. But almost if you don't at least make the Elite Eight or Final Four or something next year, you're going to be doing the same thing in the off season. Like, people are going to be mad at you. So it's like, you can't,
I wonder yeah. I agree with the fact that I think it's better to leave a year too early. It's like the Bill Belichick, better to leave a year too early than a year too late. I think Cal read the writing on the wall, and Arkansas, like, I mean, it's honestly, I think a lot of the people looking down on the Arkansas job are looking down because of the name on the front of the jersey. Like, they see Arkansas, they see the Razorback Pigs, they see Fayetteville, Arkansas, and they go, oh, Fayetteville, Arkansas, like, you can't win there. It's like, they got money, they're in the SEC, huge fan base, history of national championships, and recent winning under the Must Bus. Like, Arkansas, there could be an argument that post-COVID, Arkansas has been just as successful as Kentucky.
Oh, definitely. Just, I mean, successful. They had that, like, two straight Elite Eight runs. This year, kind of the wheels fell off a little bit, but I think with how much...
I think Musk had one foot out.
I think that, and I think with how much basketball rosters turn over, that's kind of bound to I mean, it happened last year at North Carolina when they were, like, the preseason number. Like, that's bound to happen when you have... like, the wheels can start falling off, I feel like, in basketball quickly, and it's such a long season that it feels like it's, like, I don't know. Like, if you go 16 and 15 or whatever Arkansas was this year, it feels like it's like a 4-year stint instead of, you know, when you make the Elite Eight, you have a couple, like, 4 games. Like, it feels like it goes, that feels fast, but like a long, bad basketball season that goes from October until mid-March or whenever conference tournaments are, that feels like it's a long time. So I'm excited to see what he does there. One thing
I want to see, yeah, and what I'm also excited for is that I hope Coach Cal gets back to almost like old Kentucky Coach Cal, you know? Like when I think of those Karl Anthony Town good teams, the Anthony Davis good teams, and the John Wall good teams, it wasn't just like 3 freshmen. It was like a couple freshmen, like a junior, 1 grad transfer, a senior, and then you had like a grad transfer and a freshman coming off the bench. Not just this like what almost seems like an entire roster at Kentucky the last 3 or 4 years of 18 and 19 year olds. Like I hope,
yeah,
and that was Coach Cal's whole thing at Kentucky, was like, I'm gonna get guys to the league, and I'm hoping at Arkansas he doesn't feel that pressure to an extent. And I'm hoping that he can be like, okay, I don't have to like sell that dream anymore. I can just be like, I'm going to get a couple good freshmen. I'm going to get a lot of good transfers, and I'm going to build this roster to win a national championship. I'm not going to create a program to, you know, create buzz and to like get draft picks, because draft picks don't make donors happy. Maybe a little bit. Actually, no. Draft picks make people on Twitter happy when you can say, oh, look at how many like draft picks our school has. Draft picks don't make donors happy.
No, they don't. Especially at a school like Kentucky, like what makes them happy is national championship.
Final Fours only. It's literally Final Fours. If they made a Final Four, Kentucky fans would be like, oh, solid season. Like, that's the expectation at Kentucky. Like, they're not satisfied with anything but national championships. Like you said, now, I want to pose a question to you real quick. Now, and we can know this answer by the time this episode's released, because we're recording on Tuesday night. Episode's going to be released Thursday morning. Who do you think Kentucky is going to get as their next coach?
If they got Dan Hurley, that would be amazing. He would be the biggest villain in college basketball, and would be.
I don't think he's leaving. I don't think he's you'd have to get paid probably double the amount of the second highest paid, the double the amount of the highest paid coach in college basketball. Just like, you have to have some sense of loyalty to UConn.
Yeah, and like I mean, good Lord, they like are one of the. They have to be one of the favorites for winning the national title again next year. Not that Kentucky won't be, no matter who they hire.
I mean, you have to give them the call, though. And if Dan Hurley, I do take the call, mainly just to see if I can get, like, a raise from UConn and just see if I can scare him a little. But I don't think Dan Hurley's going anywhere. The name I saw thrown around that I think is a very real possibility, and maybe I'll be a genie in this clip if you clip this, Scott Drew from Baylor.
I've seen
Scott
him
Drew and from Baylor, I think, is a dark horse contender for that Kentucky job. I've really
seen him, and I've seen Billy Donovan. So I
don't.
From what the Kentucky
people
said,
Do you think he'd go back to college?
I think it's probably going to be Scott Drew, if I had to pick. But I'm going to throw a couple people out there who I think would just be really.
Is the first one like sometimes you got to go back to go forward.
I wish that would be.
We're talking about Pitino. If Rick Pitino went back to Kentucky, I think college basketball would be at like early 90s levels of like interest. Like if you had Pitino, because you would have. Oh my! I'm speechless just thinking about it. No, yeah, it's not going to happen. Diego, stop dreaming. It's not going to happen. Don't get your hopes up.
That one's not going to happen. I'm going to throw a couple wild cards who I think would just be like shock the world if it happened. And one of them is Jay Wright. He's been out for a couple years. Ooh. How old is Jay Wright? He's older, but he's not.
You know, the thing about Jay Wright, too, is that if hypothetically Jay Wright's coming in there, that would be a situation where it's like, I'm going to build my program the way I build programs. And I don't care, like, heavy recruits, like, you want to come, like, I'm not, I don't have to start you right away. Like, exactly. I want at UConn with guys who stay. Yeah, like, I went at UConn with guys who were sophomores and juniors, seniors. Right. Like, so I think if a coach like that went to Kentucky, it will take Kentucky fans getting used to, like, why aren't these freshmen playing? But I think that's what Kentucky needs. I think the era of, you know, just ripping through, like, one and dones, like the Zion Williamson, Cam Reddish, RJ Barrett teams, like, those are over with, like, the transfer portal. Like, yeah. And especially as, like, I think we have, what, two more years of, like, these lingering COVID guys. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you have to construct your roster with guys of all ages just because it's 24-year-olds versus 18-year-olds.
Right. And they have their bigger, stronger, no, like, and I think a big part of it is, like, they're more used to school, like, college, too. Not even as much the, like, classes and stuff, but the, like, freedom of. Right.
And pressures, like, and
yeah, the freedom of pressures, and like they're more like know kind of how to have fun, but also like get their work done and stuff like that. Because like, I mean, we've all, like, at least me and you have been to school, and like there's a big difference in how serious you take like classes and stuff as a freshman compared to like as a freshman. Definitely. You can kind of jerk around. And
that's a PG way to put it. That's a PG way to put it. Jerk around.
I have a 4.0. You're like, oh, I'm not going to this class today. It's like, I didn't have to go all year long, and I got a 95 in the class. Like, that's just like, there's some silly classes you take as a freshman for the most part. Not talking about everyone. I know they're like 14-year-olds who are like creating the atom bomb. They go and immediately.
Someone from Boise. There was like a 14-year-old who's taking class at Boise like last year. I don't know her name, but we're gonna find out your name for the next show. We'll give you a shout out. But right now, maybe you should coach Kentucky. Is you're really smart, and Kentucky could use all the help they can get right now.
That is very true. So I think it's either gonna be Bryce Drew's one, who I think it's mostly gonna be, and I'll throw Jay Wright out there, and then. I think maybe they go in and fetch an NBA guy. And I don't know if it's going to be Billy Donovan. But, like, I almost wonder, and I don't know, because I think he's going to end up being, like, a president of a basketball team. But could you imagine they somehow pulled, like, Eric Spoelstra or something like that from
the – I mean, you know, the name that I've also seen thrown around, like, kind of in that dream realm is Brad Stevens.
That would be
college experience.
Too.
Brad Stevens at Kentucky, like, even as me, like, I don't really like Kentucky. Brad Stevens probably makes Kentucky a top three team next year without even a recruiting class coming in. Like, Brad Stevens builds, like, that's what he did. That's what he did. He coached with inferior talent at Butler, and he built talented rosters in Boston. Like, Brad Stevens honestly is probably the perfect hire for them.
Yeah,
I don't think there's a chance he wants that job. I don't think there's a chance he wants that job. But Kentucky donors, they got that whiskey money. They have that whiskey money.
No, it's one of those jobs. I mean, you got to know, like, going into it, like, a perfect example. I'm wearing Yankees stuff. Like, the guy they hire might not. I mean, the Yankees have brought in plenty of free agents who they paid a lot of money, and it just didn't, like, either the lights were too bright or they didn't like having a hands-on owner or whatever it was. And it's the same way at Kentucky. Like, you get offered that big money, and you're like, oh, that's nice, like, that's gonna be great. But then you get there and it's not, you know, there's what, 351 or whatever Division I college basketball schools. Kentucky's one of, like, a dozen, maybe, that, like you said, Final Four, you didn't do, you failed, basically. And even really getting to the Final Four is, like, you still didn't get the job done. So, we'll see.
It'll be very interesting to see. With that, brings us a wrap of the college basketball season and a wrap of the show. One more thing. We want to give a shout-out, a huge shout-out, to Hat13. Username Hat13 is the winner of the Settle Down Bracket Challenge. I think he has something like a 99.5 percentile. So I know Sean, our great producer, has been in contact with Hat. I still really don't know your actual name. Hopefully I can actually find that out. We won't put it on blast on the podcast, but I just know you as the your username. But Sean's in contact with you. We will get you your prize. Yeah, but shout out Hat 13 and shout out to everyone again who signed up to play. Absolutely blown away that we got 75 entrants into that. Was not expecting that. So again, thank you guys for that.
And I just want to thank UConn for winning and moving my bracket from like dead last to the middle. I needed that. I needed those points.
Right on. Yeah, that is it. We are going to be taking a little bit of a break like we did at the end of football season. So we will be back in 2 or 3 weeks. But you can still catch us on Settle Down Lives every Thursday, which are a great time because we're getting some real good debates going on those on that live show. It's almost starting to become like a debate show, or like that meme where like those three kids, like Socrates, Aristotle, and Plato, and we just to discuss awesome topics. Like, is it a? I mean, Zuch, I wish you could have been on it last week and talked about, is it weird to like a college that you didn't go to over your alma mater? It was that was a great topic of discussion.
I'll punch in right now. It is weird to like them. More than the school you like, if you cheer against the school you went to, that's when it gets. That's when I'm like,
that's,
all right.
So
like,
that's what I came to too, because I mean, you're an Ole Miss fan. You'll root for Ole Miss national championships all day. I'm a Cal fan, whether I like it or not. It's a sad life, but hell no, I'm not rooting for Cal over BSU. Yeah. Hell no, if Ole Miss played BSU, you're not rooting for them over that. But yeah, we have great talks like that. Yeah. Just keep up that off-season content. It's going to be awesome. Can't tell y'all exactly what it is. We're going to leave you in suspense a little bit, but it's going to be great. Thank you guys for listening this entire college basketball season. Really means a lot to us. Zuch, anything else until we little two-week hiatus?
Nothing else. Everyone be on Kentucky Watch to see who they hire. Give Kentucky Sports Radio a follow to see
Yes.
Great reactions.
So John Fanta Twitter Spaces is another great follow.
It's college basketball, and like, it's underappreciated because of college football, but college basketball, you get some people in there because there's so many teams that they are set wild stallions. I will leave it at that. College basketball Twitter is comparable to WWE Twitter. That is,
yes, WWE. Speaking of that, actually, thank you guys for listening. For the college people, the show is over for you. We will see you guys in 2 or 3 weeks. For the wrestling people, there were freaks on both sides of the aisle at WrestleMania. Cody freaks and Roman freaks. I watched WrestleMania. It was awesome. You cannot be reacting like that on Twitter and on video to either your favorite guy winning or losing. I'm sorry. It's not even like getting excited. It's like you punched a wall and like you tore your like cardboard cutout in half and then cried on stream. That cannot happen.
I will say though, my fiance has never watched wrestling in her life and went with me to my buddy's house to watch it and was like holding his dog every time she thought Cody Rhodes was going to get pinned. I like couldn't get through to her. I was like, no. She's like, he just got hit. He said that was that guy's his finisher. He's hit him twice with the no. How did he kick out? I'm like, he's trying to finish the story. She didn't fully understand like all the run-ins at the end that like wrestling nerds.
I mean, what's nice is that like everyone knows The Rock and John Cena though. So that's what's nice about WrestleMania is that like you don't need to follow wrestling to go like, holy crap, that's The Undertaker right there. Right.
His memes need to stop too. Whoever said he was about to storm the Capitol. I have you bookmarked.
Oh my gosh, maybe if we can get some traction at the, you know, I'm gonna talk to Sean about how well the end of this video does. Maybe we can talk more wrestling if that's what the people want. I doubt it because I don't think people want to listen to us talk about wrestling. Oh my gosh, but yeah, it's gonna be awesome. I mean, yeah. wrestling, WrestleMania was awesome. We got an awesome offseason coming up. Zuch, anything else?
Nothing else.
The last time. I think I said that three times. Yeah.
Everyone enjoy their weekend, and we'll be back soon.
We'll see you guys in a couple weeks. Thank you guys again.